Our two scripture lessons this morning come from the book of Revelations and the Gospel of John, so let us listen for God's word. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." This is the word of God for the people of God. We're trying something a little new today. Thank you for paying attention. So imagine sitting in a huge, rustic auditorium with 900 other people, give or take, 100 or so, men and women, children and youth. The windows all around look out upon the lush green mountains of western North Carolina. Inside, the space is filled with the buzz of preparation, conversation, laughter. Then the whole assembly is called to order and we all stand to sing. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. It is pure worship. Souls soaring upon the melody, hearts and voices lifted high in praise of our wondrous Creator. This scene was repeated many times over the course of the week that four of us from First Presbyterian Church in Yorktown, Christy Herman, Heidi Herring, Sophie, and I, we spent a week in Montreat, North Carolina at the Worship and Music Conference. In both large settings and small groups, morning praise and evening prayer, we were surrounded by worship. The angelic voices of 100 children's voices. The energy and passion of an equally large middle school and high school choirs. The sheer volume of sound and blending of harmony from a 300 voice adult choir, and I don't have a picture of it because I was singing in it. The intricate beauty of paper lace banners, which told the stories of Scripture, the melodious ringing of bell choirs and the thunder of organ voluntaries, the dancing rhythms of drums and percussion, the sacred moments of silence and sound, praise and prayer. Then whenever we walked anywhere outside, we were surrounded by an even larger worship service. The amazing beauty of God's creation, the mist on the mountains, the sound of a roaring brook, the sweet smell of flowers and forest everywhere you looked. When Christy and I hiked up Lookout Mountain one day, it was hard not to hear the second verse of our opening hymn. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Now don't laugh, but to be surrounded and immersed in such incredible scenes and experiences of worship for a whole week brought to my mind the book of Revelation. A number of us have spent a good deal of time over the past year with the book of Revelation in our various Bible study groups. And once you get past the bizarre imagery and the somewhat disturbing storyline, you realize that first and foremost, the book of Revelation is all about worship. Worship of our great and glorious God, creator and ruler of heaven and earth, and of God's Son, the Lamb that gave his life to show us God's love. Revelation is full of such scenes of praise and adoration, with angels and saints gathered around the throne of God singing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." The book of Revelation is about final things, the end of time when God's ultimate hopes and dreams for this universe God created will come to fruition and completion, when all will be right with the world, and we will be free to lose ourselves in wonder, love, and praise, as the famous hymn says, reveling in the goodness of our God and all of God's blessings to us. This morning, we catch a glimpse of this vision of worship in our scripture lesson from Revelation. Once the powers of evil and sin have been defeated, all heaven and earth will be renewed and recreated as God intended from the beginning. An angel is showing John around this new heaven and earth. They have seen the new Jerusalem, the holy city, in which God will dwell with his people for all eternity. Flowing from the throne of God is the river of the water of life. And on either side of the river grows a tree, the tree of life, which produces 12 different kinds of fruit. Around the throne are gathered all the servants of God and of the Lamb. They see God face to face, and they worship him in gratitude and glory and light. In our adult education class on Christianity's family tree, Methodist pastor Adam Hamilton helps us understand how seven branches of Christianity are different and at the same time all connected through our belief in Jesus Christ. In the chapter on the Eastern Orthodox tradition, Hamilton describes their worship space and practices, some of which seem foreign to us. The high liturgy, the candles and smell of incense, the haunting chants, and the mysterious quality of their services. Hamilton explains, "The liturgy itself, what happens in worship, is meant to usher the worshipers into the heavenly realm, to remind them of who they are, whose they are, and what is real. The liturgy is meant to replicate on earth the kind of worship that is taking place in heaven. In this setting, in the scent of incense, in the use of lighting, in the sounds of liturgy, and in the taste of the Eucharist, all senses are used to transport the worshiper to the heavenly realm." In Orthodox liturgy, says priest Father Sawchak, we experience nothing less than heaven. We mystically join with the angels who are singing, "Holy, holy, holy," and with the saints of the church who have gone before us. Hamilton goes on to say that all Christians can learn from this Orthodox understanding of worship, that in participating in regular, weekly, even daily worship, we too are reminded of who we are and what is real, God's kingdom in our midst. In worship, we receive a foretaste of heaven. We are united in the mystical communion of saints, past, present, and future, and we catch a glimpse of what the heavenly realm is really like. Orthodox Christians understand their worship to be a reflection of the eternal worship that goes on around the throne of God in heaven. I love that. Think about that. What we attempt to do here every Sunday morning is supposed to be a reflection of what is going on in heaven right now, at this very moment. Whenever we lift our hands and eyes and voices, whenever we lift our hearts and minds and spirits to God in worship, we are, in effect, bringing this glimpse of heavenly worship in God's eternal realm down to earth, right here and right now. We Presbyterians may be a different branch on Christianity's family tree, but our Orthodox brothers and sisters help us understand something valuable about our own worship. Earthly worship of God brings the kingdom of God down to earth. Isn't that what Jesus himself did in his life and ministry? Jesus brought the kingdom of God down to earth and lived the kingdom life through his words and actions, his ministry and miracles, his death and resurrection. When Jesus sent his disciples out two by two, he instructed them to go out and proclaim the kingdom of God through their words and their deeds of healing and mercy. No matter what branch of Christianity's family tree we are all a branch on the vine that is Jesus Christ. So long as we abide in Jesus, as he calls us to in our gospel lesson today, we are all connected. And we worship the same Lord. Our Lord Jesus calls us to bring God's kingdom, God's heavenly realm, down to earth through our lives and ministry together, through our worship and mission and service. As I read Revelation 22 again this week, what stood out to me was that in God's heavenly realm, the tree of life is still producing fruit. And that fruit and the leaves of that tree have a purpose. The leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations, we are told. Even in the new heaven and new earth, the healing work of God continues. Even though sin and death and evil have been destroyed, the wounds remain, and there is still a need for healing among peoples and nations. Could it be that the fruit of our worship here on earth might also be the healing of the nations in God's holy name? Could it be that the fruit produced by abiding in Jesus is our words and actions of mercy and healing, justice and peace, our mission and service as the body of Christ on earth? Our stewardship theme this past year was fruitful, and we spent a lot of time thinking about what it means to live a fruitful life and to be a fruitful congregation. Last fall, we read the book, The Five Practices of Fruitful Living, and it is not a coincidence that one of the first practices we looked at was passionate worship. In fact, receiving God's grace and responding to God's radical hospitality through passionate worship is what leads us into the practice of risk-taking, mission, and service. So I would like you to take another look, if we can get the slide up. No? All right. Well, so part of the worship conference was they had a liturgical artist there that created these amazing banners made out of paper lace that were basically floor-to-ceiling height. And in those banners, she had created images that illustrated the scripture lessons as well as the theme for the whole week. It was one of those things where the longer you looked at it, the more you saw in it. In the center image was the theme image of the whole week, which was the image of a woman's head thrown back in song and praise flowing from her lips. Underneath the woman were images of what we thought were birds, kind of like the Holy Spirit, rising up from within her and helping to convey that praise up and out. But if you took a step back from the image of the woman's face, you saw that she made up part of the trunk of a tree. And that tree spread its branches up high and far out, kind of like the tree of life, whose branches spread far and wide and whose leaves are for the healing of the nations. It reminded us all that our worship is rooted in the Spirit of Christ, which produces the fruits of love and grace, justice and peace, hope and healing. And that is what our worship is supposed to do too. When we extend the welcome of God's radical hospitality to anyone who walks in the door here, or comes to Vacation Bible School this week, or whom we encounter out in the world around us, our worship here reflects the divine worship of God in heaven. When we take risks and put ourselves on the line to reach out and serve one another within our family of faith, or when we reach out beyond our familiar walls and boundaries to serve our community or the stranger or the world, we are bringing the kingdom of God down to earth. When we feed the hungry, or drive down to Baltimore to help young kids learn how to read, or travel to the Dominican Republic to help rebuild lives and community there, we are offering the healing leaves of the tree of life to the nations. This morning we celebrate the fruitfulness of our ministry here and beyond our walls. But more importantly, we participate in the worship and work of God, which is going on in God's kingdom, all around the world and way up in heaven, somewhere far beyond what our eyes can see. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. So may we worship and serve the Lord our God with our words and our actions, our hearts and our minds and our spirits, today and every day. Amen. I invite you to stand and join in singing our next hymn.